Welcome to this episode of Planting Seeds. I'm Keith Jones, the preaching minister of Calera Church of Christ, and I've prepared a short message from Scripture that's intended to be the planting of a seed that, if cultivated, will in time produce fruit in the lives of the listeners. Now, let's get started. The Lord bless and keep you, may His face shine upon you, and be gracious, and give you peace. In this episode, we'll conclude our study of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapters 5 through 7. When we began the study, we saw that Jesus was describing the type of people that God favors, gives them blessings, because those are the people that allow Him to reign as King in their lives. Jesus went on to say that those favored people are called to be salt and light in the world, and that to be salt and light, these favored people have to be more righteous than the Pharisees. This righteousness practiced by these favored people is something that develops intimacy with God. Jesus said, if it's not for that purpose, it's worthless. In turn, this intimacy with God allows these favored people to see the world the way that God does. Jesus says, in order for this to happen, people have to have healthy eyes. Our eyes are the things that let in the things that shape us. And how we see the world determines the path we take and the people we become. God's favored people see the people and the circumstances around them as opportunities to share the love and mercy of Christ. But how do we maintain this intimacy with God that allows us to share the love and mercy of Jesus? Well, as Jesus closes out His sermon, He seems to let us know. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15, and follow along while I read. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. As Jesus closes his sermon, he seems to be letting the people listening know that they will need to maintain their intimacy with God to experience this reign of God that he has described throughout the sermon, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And he mentions three things specifically that will help us maintain that intimacy with God. As he starts out in verse 15, he warns the people to make sure that they listen to the right people. He tells them to beware of false prophets. A false prophet will lead people away by showing them what they want to see, telling them what they want to hear. Jesus says, make sure you listen to people who tell you what you need to hear. Even if that's difficult, even if that means that you need to make changes, listen to the people who tell you what you need to hear. How can we identify who the right people are to listen to? Jesus said, you'll be able to tell by the way they live their life. You will be able to see that they are one of these favored people. They're living their life a certain way and bearing a particular type of fruit. Jesus says fruit doesn't come from thistles. Later in Matthew 13, verse 23, as Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, Jesus describes the thistles as the cares of the world. You will not get good advice from people who are caught up in the things the world is caught up in. You will get good advice, good direction, good teaching from people who are living life in a godly way. So Jesus seems to be asking his listeners, are you going to chase after people that feed your passions and desires? Or are you going to listen to the people who help you pursue God's passion and desires? Also, as we receive good teaching, sound teaching, good advice from godly people, we have to be willing to put that into practice in our lives so that we see healthy fruit develop in us. A healthy tree produces good fruit. As we look at our lives, can we see the things developing in our life that God wants to be there? As we evaluate our lives, can we see the fruit in our lives that God wants to develop and grow in us? Are we seeing evidence of healthy fruit, or are we quenching the Spirit? Are we keeping the Spirit from doing its work because we're choking out that fruit with the cares of the world? You may be asking at this point, what is that fruit? What do I need to see in my life to know that the Spirit is producing the fruit in me that God wants? I think we can go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 and see what Paul wrote. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Are we listening to the right people, to the right teachers? Are we seeking godly advice? Are we putting that into practice in our lives and seeing fruit develop that is in line with what God produces in the life of His people as He transforms them into the people He wants them to be? Jesus mentions this kind of productivity as a way to stay connected intimately with God, but He also, starting in verse 21, gives us a little more information. There He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is Lord gets to be a part of the kingdom or the reign that comes from heaven. That happens when you submit to the will of the Father. When you actually participate in kingdom business, then you are a part of the kingdom. It's not just acknowledging that there is a kingdom, it's living as a citizen of it. Jesus lets us know that saying Jesus is Lord is not the same as living with Jesus as our Lord. We have to ask ourselves, do we see our lives as an opportunity to live for ourselves, to achieve things that we want to experience in this life, that we want to accomplish, to achieve some level of acceptance by mankind, to accumulate a certain amount of wealth? Or do we see our lives as an opportunity for Jesus to live through us? And Jesus closes with one last way that we can make sure that we maintain an intimacy with God. In the last paragraph, He discusses the stability that will be necessary for us to achieve all that God wants us to, that allows us to be the kind of vessel that God will use for His purposes as we look to join Him in His work. He says, "Everyone that hears His words," this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, "and lives them out," those people are like people who build houses on a good rock-solid foundation. When they do that and storms come and beat against the house stands firm. And Jesus is letting us know that our lives can be the same way. That if we have a good, solid, firm foundation in our lives, when tragedy strikes, when troubles come, when trials assail us, we can stand firm. We're not bothered by the storms. We can stand against them because we know that God is with us And Christ is in us to make sure that we overcome whatever this life has to throw at us. A sturdy house begins with a firm foundation. A sturdy life, a stable life, begins with Christ at the center of it. We live in a society where so many people are distracted by their anxieties and their fears, their inability to cope with certain circumstances they find themselves in. And for so many of those, the answer seems to be as simple as turning to Jesus, hearing what he has to say, living that out, allowing him to transform you through those experiences, and as a result, become the kind of person that stands strong against any problem that comes in life. And in the process, we're prepared to live for eternity with God. Jesus contrasts that to people who build on the sand, people who are willing to cut corners, to take the easy way out in getting their life to look the way they want it to look. As Jesus contrasts these two houses built on two different foundations, he lets us see the devastating effects of cutting corners while laying a foundation. If we don't make sure that the foundation is firm and solid, if we're willing to build on anything that looks good to us, we could end up seeing our lives crumble as we face the trials of life. We can see ourselves implode and even become self-destructive as we look to achieve what we want while not standing on a firm foundation. As you look at your life now, are you a person who sees the storms of life and the troubles coming and are fearful for them? Or are you able to see the security of a firm foundation? Jesus wants us to be blessed by the words that he said in this Sermon on the Mount. He wants us to know that we have a place with God. We just have to be willing to surrender to him, to accept that he knows what's best for our life. He created us, so he knows how to bring the most out of us, to help us experience the most of our human existence. He allows us to be in relationship with him and to draw near to him and to be our king. But we have to live as subjects to him, not as advisors to him. We have to be willing to seek after his passions and desires. We have to be willing to let his son Jesus be our Lord. We're willing to do whatever he tells us to do, regardless of the circumstances, and we do whatever it takes to be attached to that firm foundation, to be able to see the world the way God does and respond appropriately so the trials of life and the struggles of life don't overcome us. These people living this kind of wholly committed life are the ones that Jesus says inherit the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for listening. You can find more of these messages on our website, calerachurchofchrist.org, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.